Random thought. With the news surrounding vaccines, how confident are you that we're back to normal by the fall? Because that's what everyone was saying. And then, of course, you get now Pfizer putting out something that says, yeah, it looks like you're going to need a, even after the first two vaccines, you're going to need a third shot in 6 months, which nobody's going, sign me up for another prick, please. And then you've got Johnson & Johnson, you know, mixing up their batch so that now you can actually get the vaccine through their hair conditioning and shampoo. So I think I got it in my baby oil. I'm good. I'm covered. Not only am I glistening, but I'm also COVID-free. And so is my baby, goddammit.
Yeah.
So how confident are you now that they've totally fucked this whole shit up, which we kind of knew they would?
I'm not confident at all. I've been even before they came up with the vaccine, a lot of people were hoping that back to normal is going to be, you know, the summer, you know, right, or whatever. I've already been saying like, nope, 2022 is closer to where we're going to get back to normal, partly because you're not seeing enough people getting vaccinated.
Right.
You still got people who are skeptic, and so you're still going to get people who get COVID.
Right.
And then I think there's going to be an adjustment for how it's going to be a social adjustment, right? For a year, we've been avoiding touching people, being around people and all that, to where we got to figure out how do we do that again? How do we open up everything and do it safely? How do we think about sanitation? You know, when it comes to a lot of these big restaurants and all these different places, you know, like in the restaurants, they took away the menus and you just use the deal. I love that idea. I don't want to touch your gross ass menu, you know, all the time anyway. But I mean, I think we're going to have to like refigure some things out. It's just not going to be a hit the switch type of deal. And it's weird. I think I saw a buddy of mine that we both have been vaccinated. And so it's first time getting to see each other. And we were like, wait, you got your shots? How long ago? Are you good? All right, get in here. You know, finally get the chance to give each other.
Oh, did y'all kiss?
No.
Okay, just checking. That whole get in here thing, I was just a little worried about.
No, you know, no. No. Plus his fiance was there. That'd make it weird. So just a hug.
I don't want you to feel left out, babe. You get in here too.
Yeah. So I just don't see us going back to this what people are thinking is normal.
Yeah.
I would even think Thanksgiving, you're going to see not as many people travel. There's going to be more people that travel this year than last year, but we're not going to be at these full family gatherings. Because some of us have family that we know are dirty and gross. So whether they're vaccinated or not, they don't want to be around the anyway.
You know, interesting thing is, so last year when this happened, right? They said, okay, by the fall, but then expecting a second wave in the fall. Well, come early summer, I'm like, it doesn't look like we're back at any given time, even at work. And it's one of those things that's like, I'm thinking January at the earliest. And my thing was January at the earliest being that it's going to be flu season, so it's probably not going to be until the spring. But I just, being optimistic, said January at the earliest, right? And there are people like, no, it's going to be in the fall. I'm like, okay, we'll see. And sure enough, fall came around. It's like, all right, well, next year. And then it becomes March, and then it became July. And matter of fact, so we had to cancel Jerkfest last year because of Charleston Caribbean Jerk Festival, which by name alone, you would think that you would be a perfect person to be at this event, you know, being the jerk that you are. But
thank you.
And that's why people thought I was actually putting this thing on in the first place. They thought it was, you know, for me, a celebration of me. But we said, okay, we'll push it back. It'll make it 2021. And just this week, we had to go ahead and put out the announcement that we're going to have to push it back to 2022. And I'm just hoping that by summer of 2022, we're back to some sense of normalcy. You're seeing some places like Texas just opened up and said, fuck it. You know, everybody in Texas Rangers Stadium. And like, okay, nobody really wanted to go to the games before, but I guess everybody's been cooped up long enough that Major League Baseball is now 100% attendance. But then even in Ohio, you had that happening where outdoor events are now at 100% capacity. Well, the Cleveland Indians are now going, you know what? Well, we're going to take it slowly. We're going with 25% for now.
Yeah. Well, I think a sign or one thing that will help us get back to normal faster is let's stop this unemployment payments. That would help get people to have to get back out into the workforce. Because it's killing a lot of companies, a lot of businesses that want to reopen. We want to reopen, but we don't have employees to come in and do the work.
They'll take the interview, but they won't take the job.
Exactly. And regardless of people say it's because of, you know, your company offers low wages or whatever, you know, regardless of all that crap. I mean, all those things play into it. But if you're able to make $600 a week to stay home and do nothing compared to getting a $14 an hour job, mm-hmm. you know, at 40 hours a week, you know, and doing the work, you're like, well, I'll just take the $600 and stay home. We got to stop that.
Here's the thing about it. That's people not thinking long term. I want this right now, and that's cool. Not thinking that when this is over and the payments stop, what are you going to do then? Because here's the thing. Even if you go back to work, you're collecting unemployment now. If you only make $300 a week, you're still going to get that other $300 from the government. The problem is, you go, well, if I can make $600 and do nothing, why would I make $600 and do something? And right. That's the short-term thinking. You really got to start thinking, like, what happens when this is over?
True. And you know, some people have different reasons, right? I think there's a majority of them that are just lazy as shit. But some of them also, you know, one partner has the higher-paying job. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just stay home, mm-hmm. don't work, get the unemployment, and since the kids aren't going, they're having to be homeschooled.
Right.
You stay home and do that. I'll go to the, I mean, so there's other reasons that people may be doing it, but I think the bulk of them are just lazy. But as soon as we get them off the government teat, then mm-hmm. we will be in a much better place. So that's the conservative me coming out saying no, we need to stop paying out all this money to these people and get them.
You got a red cap back there? Let me look. Is there a red cap back there somewhere? I think I see it in the background, red cap with white letters. Mm-mm. Oh my god, yeah. It's you!
Yeah, no, that's my conservative side coming out. Let's stop giving away free money and make these people have to earn it. Damn it!
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root,
and I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having just crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 32. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
What made you smile this week, man?
God, not a whole lot. Because
I've got something that's going to make you smile, but yeah. let's hear what not made you smile this week.
Work is just kicking me in the tail this week. And so, it's just been a rough week, so not a whole lot of smiles coming out of the daytime job, and then even in the evening, yeah, not a whole lot of smiles there. So it's been really crazy. It's funny, you know. I've been going on some dates, and you know, this whole trying to date people online and all that stuff, it's draining. But we know it's the necessary evil, but. Mm. Something that did make me smile is some of the responses that you get, or lack of responses you get from these people. So you send a message and they're just like one word answers. And so
I call those courtroom answers. When you understand, you answer what's asked. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah. And so I kept getting these like one word, two word answers from this person. So I said, hey, all right, quick question for you, or two questions for you. Pineapple on pizza, are you a thumbs up or thumbs down? And then when meeting someone through an app, how do you like to communicate and get to know them? Do you prefer messaging, texting, or actually a phone call? And so she replied back, thumbs down and all. I was like, okay.
It's like squeezing water from a stone. And so
I just replied back and I was like, hey, let me rephrase that. I'm trying to figure out how to get to know you because all your responses are either one or two word answers. And so you're kind of giving me nothing to work with. And then she's like, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. And it was very dismissive. And I just laughed. I was like, yeah, there's no need for us to even do this. Yeah. So that part is just funny. So again, be thankful you're married. You're not missing anything in these streets.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. And I'm very happy about that. But what made me smile this week is knowing your reaction and the fact that it would make you smile. Because I made that trek this past week, from Cleveland to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And when I say make that trek, I mean packed up the, well, no, let's not, let's rephrase that. I did not pack up the U-Haul. I had people to pack up the U-Haul. I drove it from Cleveland down through Kentucky, mm-hmm. the mountains of Kentucky, the mountains of Tennessee, into Georgia. Mm-hmm. And because of the time we left, it was nighttime when we hit those mountains. I have acrophobia, which, unlike what the woman who was showing me my place here in Georgia thought it was, but she's like, well, you know, we have pest control. I said acrophobia, not arachnophobia. Okay, there's a big difference. And I'm not going to tell everybody what that is, so you can go look it up in case you don't know. Consider it. The more you know. but that at night, and then, of course, these 18-wheelers who act like they're in the Grand Prix and are mad as shit if you're going anywhere less than 100 on these winding roads in the middle of the hills. And they're mm-hmm. mad if you're not going 100 too. You know, it's just like, oh, my God. But interesting thing is I had my brother-in-law who was helping me. He was driving my car down about halfway through the hills. I'm like, yo, I am not going to make it. We need to switch out. You take the U-Haul, I take the car, right? He's like, all right. Now, little backstory. Earlier, when we made our first stop to get gas, he's mm-hmm. like, yo, when are you going to step on the gas? You're driving slow as shit. We're never going to get there. And I was doing about 60, 65. I'm like, I was just trying to get used to the truck. It's a U-Haul. It's not a big one. It's only a 10-foot. But I still got to get used to this box, right? And it was like, all right. So I started at Governor's on it. It maxes out at 75. And I was hitting that quite a bit on those even roads. When we get to the mountains, it's like, yeah, now we're going to slow that joker down. As soon as we start out, I'm like, where the hell is he? I'm looking back like, where the... I slowed all the way down, finally saw him again. He's back there, and he's going no more than 50 miles an hour. So when we finally stop, he goes, all right, I get it. That shit is hard to drive. Oh, so all that shit you were talking before about me driving slow, and look at you. Now you're driving way slower than I was. But, you know,
yeah.
I thank him for making that trek with me and actually made it. But I knew, and I got a little bit of this from you on the phone as we were driving through, that, you know, you're gonna, all your judgmental stuff is coming through because you do this on the regular. I don't. So,
well, you know, it happens. I don't suffer from a case of vaginitis like you do. So
that's called acrophobia, you jackass.
But I've done that drive many a times, not that particular drive, but, you know, in U-Hauls and, you know, pulling out the car. I know it's hard, but I'm just used to it. I've done it a whole bunch, but I think the benefit is it's a money saver to do it that way than to have a moving company pick it up, drive it, and deliver it, because I did that once and I had to wait a week to get my stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm just sitting there in the house. I had a blanket, TV, and
at least you
suitcase.
Had a TV.
Yes. Yeah. Laying on the floor, just watching TV.
Look, when I moved to Detroit, when the guy came to deliver my stuff, it was just him. I was like, well, good luck getting all that shit inside, because I'm not picking shit up.
Listen, no, you're getting paid to do this. I'm not going to help you with that.
And I felt bad. No, he's an older man. Yeah, he was an older man, and I'm just like, I feel kind of bad, but... You signed up for this shit. I'm not getting any money back if I help you.
Yeah, it was like three guys that packed me up and moved me at the same time. So that's why I did it this last move, where they came, their company that was in Austin, they went to New Braunfels, picked up all my stuff, and then drove it and dropped it off at my house and then unloaded. So it was a whole lot easier that way, and cheaper. I mean, it was barely like a few hundred bucks.
Yeah, see, when I do the shorter moves, I'll do like two men in a truck, because the one thing I love about them, here's the great thing about them and the bad thing about them at the same time. The great thing about them is they pack your shit up, they drive there, and they drop it off. So you get it immediately. The bad thing about it, that means it's more costly. It's more expensive, but it's one thing you don't like, they take care of that. because they show right up with your stuff, and that's how it worked for me when I did the Detroit to Cleveland move. So
after doing all these moves, this is why I don't help people move anymore. I'm like, if people ask me, hey, I need some help moving, I'm like, you need to call somebody. Call two men in a truck. You know, they can you pay the money. You're an adult. Now, if somebody's like, I think there's a difference if you're, you know, moving out into college, you need help moving your son into a dorm, or it's your kid's first apartment and you got to help him move. I support that. I would help that all day. But if I have friends moving to one house or another, like, hey, we want to get some friends to help us move. I'm like, one, two, three, not it. Not doing it.
Hey, I got $50 on your movers for you.
Yeah, I'll Venmo you $100. Will that help? To your two men out of truck and have them come do this stuff for you. Because what's your time worth? You know, and yeah. I used to manage relocations for people that were different companies I worked for that were hiring. And my goal was always to make it easier for the spouse. Because the person getting the job, their mindset is, I'm going to get this job, either the pay is great, it's going to be great for my family, and I can't wait to start working. The spouse is normally at home dealing with, shit, I got to pack, got to get this, I got to cut stuff off, and whatever. And so there's all these different companies and agencies that can help you do that for free. You know, and so I'm like, I know what it's like. I know the stress of moving. It's not worth it to try to get a bunch of people to help you do it just to save money.
Where was all this advice when you knew I was moving? What the fuck?
Who's the one that told you to get the U-Haul?
Okay, yeah, I mean, there's that. Just so you could laugh at me coming through the mountains of Kentucky and Tennessee, though.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know it would flare up your vaginitis, though. I didn't know that. So, I'm sorry.
Well, let me flare yours up as we step into politics as usual. Ted Cruz.
Speaking of big vaginitis. yeah, so nothing new in the news of Ted Cruz this week, but still, the same thing applies. We need to vote him out. Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz is somebody that, like many politicians, is an opportunist. But what he did during this snowpocalypse to me was just the straw that broke the camel's back for me when you just straight up lied about this trip that you're taking to Cancun. And I don't care that you went to Cancun. If I could go, I would. But the fact that you lied about it is the thing that's disgusting to me. And, you know, he's just a weak person. You know, he lets Trump and everybody talk shit about him, doesn't do anything about it. And then now he wants to go after, you know, the Biden administration, call people out and be tough on border patrol and about the kids stuck in the at the border. He wasn't worried about them when Trump was the president.
Of course not.
He wasn't speaking out about that. You know, he wasn't going to the border when Trump was president. Now it's a Democrat.
It didn't benefit him politically.
Yeah, so now this all tries to benefit him. So he's just an opportunist. So, as always, vote his ass out.
You know, the thing, too, about Ted Cruz is then you see the John Boehner, and Boehner's up on everybody's talk show promoting his book now. And again, this is where it's like when Omarosa left the White House and wrote a book about Trump. Exactly. That's exactly how I feel about John Boehner and this shit. Yeah, you're like, oh, it's funny because he's talking about Ted Cruz. But the fuck? You were right there with this guy all along before. Whether you liked him or not, you were with him the entire time. You knew his politics was shit. You even, now he's talking about the fact that he drummed all this up and then now he had to follow along and he went along with it because a leader without the followers is just somebody walking in the wrong direction. So you knew it was wrong. What you're telling me is you did this shit for your own political and financial gain regardless. So therefore, you are no better than him. As much shit as you talk about him, you are him. You are Ted Cruz, John Boehner. And as such, I mean, I agree with you on Ted Cruz needs to be out, you know, because he lied and Texas needs to vote him out, but they won't. Texas will vote him back in because that is what that's what we do in politics. We vote in the people that, you know, are going to be just because it's our gang. They're part of our gang. So we've got to make sure our gang stays in power. So sorry. I mean, what's interesting that I saw, too, was remember the what's his name? Somebody Jordan in Georgia. The black man who was a Democrat, who was stumping for Kemp and for Trump and all that, and then he's made that very public switch to become a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's now going to challenge Governor Kemp for the governor's seat in the primary.
Of course.
Which, politically, I kind of understand why, because Kemp is no longer in favor with Trump and all that because of what happened with the election. But right. then Kemp also came in behind that. And I think this is where I think I see what you're trying to do, but I don't think you're going to be successful. I think the Republicans are still going to be behind Kemp, because what he did was, yeah, he didn't allow Trump to overturn the election because he didn't want Trump back in. But at the same time, he's trying to protect Republicans by these new ridiculous Georgia voting laws. And so it'll be interesting. I think this it's going to be interesting to see who gets challenged where on either side by their own party.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be interesting to see how that goes. I mean, Georgia, I think it's kind of a mess when you really think about it. But if you look at politics, all of them are pretty much corrupt and bad. And it's not that their heart's not in the right place. It's just that's what politics is. And you have the two-party system because it always ebbs and flows. It sways some to the right, some things sway to the left. But as long as people are in that space, they're going to say whatever they need to say to get reelected. And then when they retire and they write their book, that's when all the truth comes out, you know, about what they've been, what, all the things they noticed they were a part of. And so I'm like, well, you were a part of this problem. You didn't try to help it.
Exactly.
So thank you for telling us the story about 2012 when you were in office, but you didn't do anything about it. So
exactly. That's why I have no empathy for I'm not there laughing along and joking along and celebrating with John Boehner because he's saying fuck Ted Cruz. We've been saying fuck Ted Cruz for a minute. So yeah, welcome to the party. Sit your ass in the back.
Oh man, this week is it's been these past couple weeks. Hell, the last 30 days has been a crazy thing in this world, in the U.S. with gun control and the amount of shootings that have happened. I think on our previous show, we talked about kind of the Biden's gun control plan. But look at all these crazy shootings that happen. And when they start to look at how the person got their weapon, it's crazy. And again, all we're saying is assault rifles and background checks. Like, that's the big thing for me. Take out assault rifles. You don't need those on the street. And yes, you have to have a background check.
In the first place.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this shooting this week at FedEx. You had another shooting just this morning at a bar. It's just a lot of shootings are happening.
Keep in mind, we're recording this on Sunday, so you're talking about Sunday morning, right?
Yes, yes. Sunday morning. And everybody says, well, if people had more guns, you know, it's just going to be the OK Corral everywhere you go. But it's just getting crazy. You could potentially go to Walmart and be stuck in a shooting. You know, it's just crazy. It's crazy times they were in. Yeah, man. I just don't know how to get people to realize, like, there's a problem.
You see, here's the problem. It's that America is the land of you can't tell me what to do. Okay. Perfect example of this, and this is coming from somebody who was not born here, who did not grow up here in the early part of my life. My first 15 years of my life, I did not grow up here. So what I know about America, I saw on TV, right? But it's also the same place where you'll have Americans who will travel to different countries that speak different languages and say, speak to me in English, I'm American. But then somebody comes to America and you just go, well, speak American because you're in America.
Yeah. Well,
first of all, it's English. But
yeah.
Let's get that straight. Okay.
Yeah.
The language you speak is English. All right. But that mentality of you can't tell me what to do, that I'm always right mentality, is never going to play well in this. Because it doesn't matter which side you're on, they're always right. Okay. And when it gets down to, like, I'm not saying take away the guns, but when the amendment was written, it took you almost 5 minutes to reload. After that first shot, it was a little while.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Pull out the bayonet instead. You know, it was very different times. There weren't no AR-15s, and the AR-15 is just the non-military version of the M-16. It's not fully automatic. It's semi-automatic. What does that mean? It just means it doesn't fire off as many bullets at the same time. But it, you fire quite a bit because it's semi-automatic. It's still a lot of rounds in a very small amount of time. And what do you need a military weapon for in at any given time? And I know people who have them. I have a friend of mine who owns one. And he loves his gun. Loves all his guns. And I have no problem with keeping it to protect yourself at home. But an AR-15, if somebody breaks into your house, is that the first thing you reach for? You reach for the handgun. I mean, definitely. Seriously. And yeah. Think about it. That semi-automatic, imagine if it was fully automatic. You start shooting, everybody's dead. The people coming in your house, your family, the neighbors. If you still have bullets in the gun when the cops come, they're probably dead too. So yeah. You got to, you know, I think it's reckless. There's no, it's for hunting. The fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. How many deer are you trying to shoot? Are you on the plains in the safari shooting down a whole herd as the rampage is, the stampede is coming? No, you're not. So you don't need that.
True, and I think there are some sane, you know, safe, good people out there that have these weapons that aren't going to use it to go on the killing spree. Mm-hmm. But we have seen time and time again that there are some troubled people that somehow get access to these weapons. And I'm not even talking about it's my dad's rifle or I went to my friend's house and borrowed their gun. These are people that are going to go buy them, you know, that have an issue. The kid that shot up the FedEx office, you know, a year ago, his mom had went to the police and felt like he was going to do something crazy and get killed by suicide by cop. Mm-hmm. So she thought he was going to do something to in a large scale where police would kill him. Police go pick him up. They're interviewing him. They take his rifle that he had. So took his rifle from him. And then they send him to like a mental health center to get tested and kind of see what's wrong with him, what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then in July, in September of 2020, he was able to buy an assault rifle, two of them. Now, he never got the rifle back from the police that took his first one because they felt like there was a problem. He was able to buy these two guns and then shoots up a FedEx building.
Now, let me ask you a question, because two things here. And I hate to be the one to constantly bring race into this. But I just feel the need to in this sense.
Okay.
Was he black, white, Hispanic, or other?
That is a good question.
I'm judging by the picture, and the picture shows, I think, that he was white.
I think he was.
So her fears of him dying suicide by police were probably very, they should have been very minimal just because they're not going to, they don't kill mass murderers who are white. You know, now, if you just happen to be black or darker complexion and maybe suspicious, I can't say suicide by police, but definitely death by police, right? You have a higher chance of that. Because, yeah, he is dead, but he killed himself. Am I right or wrong? Most of these shooters...
Yep, he killed himself.
Most of these mass shooters who are white that die, it's by their own hands. It's not because the cops killed them. They keep bringing them in when they're white. That's it. I have nothing else to put on it. I just want to interject race in this just to piss a couple people off, including your good friend Reggie Mantle, since I'm racist, according to him.
You are.
Whatever. I'm just pointing out facts, homie. I'm just pointing out facts.
No, that's very true. I mean, a lot of these people are not shot by police. Some kill themselves. But now, I mean, I think you have gun control from the public, but we got to talk about gun control from the damn police officers.
God because damn right.
These stories that keep coming up where people are getting shot, you know, you have the 13-year-old boy. They got the 13-year-old boy that was shot. Mm-hmm. And all that happened with, I read this article. It broke down the time sequence of how long it took him to make that decision. And it was all a total of 38 seconds. And from the time that he dropped his gun or dropped whatever they thought he had and put his hands up in the air within 3 or 4 seconds, the cop still shoots him with his hands up in the air. And then you have Dante that, you know, the cop mistook her taser or her gun for the taser. and yell taser, 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 but then shoots him with the real gun.
Look, so a couple things here. One, going back to Adam Toledo, right? The fact that the gun, they found the gun off to the side from him. So we're assuming he dropped the gun. I haven't seen anything from the body cam that shows him dropping the gun. What they do show is he turns around, hands up, no gun in hand, and he shoots him anyway. Dead in the right. chest. Didn't shoot to disarm, didn't shoot to disable, he shot to kill. Shot him in the chest, a 13-year-old boy. Now, to his credit, for once that we're finally hearing, he actually tried to administer CPR, right? But you shot him in the chest. He was going to fucking die, okay?
Right.
There's not enough CPR. But here's the other part about this. He left the adult, ran away. The kid ran away. He chases the adult. He chases the kid and leaves the adult, right? And then shoots him as soon as he turns around with his hands up. What else was he supposed to do in that moment? Because you say stop, you say turn around with your hands up, and as soon as he does it, you shoot him.
Right.
I question whether that gun was actually dropped by the kid or not, or whether the cop planted it over there. The only reason I go, well, maybe it wasn't planted, and that's just me being a skeptic that I am. The only reason I say it may not have been planted is because it wasn't right next to him. Because that would have given him more of a justification. Well, he had it. I swear, I saw it. But I really question that. The other part on Dante Wright was the fact that even Pat Robertson, who is one of the most conservative voices you've heard, he probably made Rush Limbaugh seem liberal over the last 400 years that he's been on TV. and even he was like, with the gun and the taser, like, there's absolutely no way you can tell me that this feels like a taser and that you don't know that this is the gun.
I think a lot of people are thinking like I was, that both the gun and the taser would be put on your dominant side, but it's not that way.
Yeah, but they have to cross where they have on different.
So you actually have to reach across yourself.
Yeah, you feel the difference.
It's definitely.
There's just no comparison. As I say, they're not making tasers in this yellow color anymore. They're making them in black. They're making them yellow. Now, how she made the difference was she shot that poor guy to death, saying, "This is what I thought. This is what I thought was my taser." And if you can't tell the difference in the feel of those things, it's crazy.
It's like there's really no way, right? And it was, to me, it's here's the other part. If I'm correct from what he said, they put them on opposite sides. Your taser's on one side, yep. Your gun's on the other.
Right.
So there's no way you pulled the wrong one. I get it. There's a lot happening, but you don't pull the wrong one. Because I told you, I've seen a video of the cop who had his gun drawn chasing a white man down. Let's make sure we put that in there clearly. A white man he was chasing down who had a gun who was turning around firing. So, of course, he was missing because he was firing on the run. But he puts his gun back in the holster, pulls out the taser, and tasers this man and takes him down. Now, you can't tell me, had that been a black man firing a shot at him, that he would have just shot him. We've watched Walter Scott happen where he was running away with no weapon in hands at all, and the cop shot him 5 times in his back and killed him. So, all right, so there's that. But the point of even Pat Robertson coming out and talking about, you know, the fact of he made some statements that I think hell is about to freeze over. I think it's going to snow next week here in Georgia just because the fact that Pat Robertson came out and said there's no way this cop could have taken the gun for a taser. Then he also said Derek Chauvin should rot in jail. I was like, wait, what? Seriously? You agree? And then talked about the police who stopped the lieutenant in Virginia and said that, you know, they're harassing this good man, this good military man. And I'm going, and everybody's in shock. I think Pat Robertson's about to pull some shit and say, white people need to be back on top and we need to get rid of everybody else by next week. So he's going to say something to get his base back because he may have lost his entire base.
Yeah, he may have, you know, I don't know. I think I appreciate the fact that Pat Robertson said it because then that religious right group will hear it and be like, well, crap. But I agree 100% with what he's saying. And Derek Chauvin should rot in jail. Like, I don't understand why this trial is taking as long as it is. I watched the video. I'm good. I saw what happened. I don't need to sit this trial. And so, you know, we're still waiting to see the results of that, but he's 100% right. And you look at these shootings, especially the ones that are dealing with black and with black people or people of color in general with white officers. It's so hard to, unfortunately for a lot of us of color, we're used to it. So it's not a surprise. I feel like what we've seen over the last year, starting with George Floyd, is an awakening for a lot of people who didn't realize or accept that this is something that happened often. They might have heard it, but they didn't really pay attention to it mm-hmm. as much as we did. Similar to the civil rights movement, right? Where a lot of people up north knew that in the South it was a little jacked up and, you know, separate bathrooms and all that. But then once they started to see the video footage of dogs getting black people in the hoses mm-hmm. and all that, they're like, damn. You know, that's true. Like Rodney King, you know, we've all talked about, black people have all been talking about getting, you know, abused by police officers. The Rodney King video was an eye-opening experience for a lot of people who didn't realize this shit is the norm. So mm-hmm. it's frustrating. You get tired of talking about it every week, you know, and then you get tired of seeing the arguments of people going, well, what did he do? And I totally understand because
I want to see the rest of the tape.
Yeah, yeah, I totally understand because in a lot of cases, I'm like, well, let me see the whole thing, you know, and similar to Dante's situation, he had a warrant. Yes, he tried to flee from police. Yes, doesn't mean he should get shot, you know, just like the white kid.
You know why they pulled him over?
For what? Oh, the air freshener hanging from the window, which apparently that's the law there.
Yeah, but there are five states where it's the law. And I guarantee you those five states are very conservative states because that's black people have been known to hang air fresheners in their goddamn rearview mirror. You wash the car, you wipe down the insides, you make it all shiny, and you put a fucking air freshener up there. And now you got about 15 of them up there. Think of it. Minorities are the ones that usually have the air fresheners up there.
Now, I'm curious. Do you think that law came about because I remember maybe in the 90s or so when I started driving, when CDs came out, people would hang a CD from their rearview mirror. And they said something about, I remember the reason they were saying it did something with police radar.
Oh, was it? Oh.
Yeah, with police radar. If they're trying to get radar on you, that's why people were doing it. And I'm wondering, did that law start because of that? So it's not just a law that says you can't hang air fresheners. I think I want to see what the law says. I don't believe it just calls out only air fresheners. I think you're not able to hang anything dangling from your mirror.
That'd be kind of bad considering that you have parking decals that you have to hang up there.
Well, there's a difference on a parking decal that's a little car compared to something hanging from a rope or a piece of string. See what I'm saying?
Great choice of words there, sir. Hanging from a rope.
No, you get what I'm talking about. But I mean, regardless, it doesn't matter what he's done. I mean, mm-hmm. and we've seen videos, just the recent video floating around of the kid in the SUV where the cops are trying to apprehend him. I don't know what he did, but he refused to get out. He said he had his gun in his car, and the officer put the gun on him. They're trying to grab him. He's yelling, hey, you know, calling out all different amendments. You can't do this, and you know I'm right. And then he's just like, I'm going to leave. Yep. And then he just drives off. Mm-hmm. They don't try to shoot him. They didn't try to tase him. They didn't try to do any of that.
Oh, there's so one of a 61-year-old white man who's got a cop hanging on the side of his truck. There's another cop on the other side with an AR-15, mm-hmm. with an assault rifle, who doesn't fire one goddamn shot. But he drives. He lets this man drive off with a cop clinging and speeding off. Not just, hey, let me just mosey on out of this parking lot. No, skirt!
Yeah.
And lets him take off with it. That cop is about to get his ass handed to him, hanging onto that car. Because the minute he lets go and falls off, either the truck's running him over, or he's just going to get bodily harm from falling on the ground doing 30, 40, 50 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, it just gets so frustrating to talk about.
And I will say this.
You feel like people are so blind to not even see what we're saying, you know?
And I will say this, you know, because you said, you know, people of color being shot by white police officers. When we talk about the people of color being shot by, harassed by police officers, I don't care the race of the police officer, because I've encountered black police officers, white police officers, good black police officers, bad black police officers. Those have been the biggest assholes. And then I've also been with white cops who've been bad and those who've been very nice. So it's not about race to me. It's about how you treat the people that you're supposed to serve. There's a woman on Real Time with Bill Maher this week, and she was talking about the fact that the way the training goes, because she went through training to be a police officer. Mm-hmm. And she said even the way that the training goes, it's not set to protect everyone else. It's to you make it home safely. And it's set up as in, here, cops, as you're going through training, cops get killed every day. Cops get killed. You never know. This traffic stop could be your last one. Yes, there's a level of caution you have to have.
Right.
But once you set somebody's, you make somebody's mindset be, go out there, they're trying to kill you immediately. Everybody's trying to kill you. Then what are you going to go with? You're going out with a chip on your shoulder. You've already brainwashed them. Now what happens? You know, so.
Well, I'm with you on that. And the reason why I stressed the white cop, because majority of this, and this is how the media puts it out there, mm-hmm. when there's a police shooting, it's white cop shoots black teen, black, yeah. you know, person, whatever. You don't see a whole lot of black cop shoots black teen. That's in these scenarios where we just, you know, just straight up shot somebody for no reason.
Yeah.
There have been, you know, drug deals. There's been shootouts where black cops have shot black people, and it was for just reason. But the big focus is when a white cop shoots somebody. Fact. Right? And when we look at these issues of when they do it, there's always some weird, sketchy shit to the story. Indeed. You know, but then when you look at the ones where nothing, they didn't do anything. Think of Botham Jean, right? Sitting in mm-hmm. his house, eating mm-hmm. some cereal. And this woman comes in thinking it's her place and shoots him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many of these cases that it's just to the point where I don't get surprised when I see the stuff in my timeline. You know, I'm looking through my news articles and I'm just like, yep, happens. And it's just frustrating. And then to hear people try to defend it or defend these cops that are doing this. And I'm not anti, you know, back the blue. I think great. There's some great cops out there.
Indeed.
But to be so blind to not even admit that, hey, there is a problem. And yeah. everyone, I mean, I've read, you know, people's, some of my Facebook friends have had some posts that they've done about this. And then I read the comments of the people that they're friends with. And their friends are saying, well, you know, don't, if you don't run or don't resist and just comply, this wouldn't happen. And I'm like, that's just fucking stupid.
And it's also not true because there are a lot of white people who don't comply and yell at yep. the cops and I pay your fucking salary. And they get home. Fine. And totally say, I'm not doing whatever you tell me to do. You know, just give me my goddamn license back. You know, all that shit. And they get yep. to go home. So don't act as if this is not... If you want to be blind to it, well, congratulations, you are. Because you just choose to be. But you can't act as if it doesn't happen. And the reason I brought up the fact of it doesn't matter the race of the cop is because you can have 99 shootings of white cops with people of color and then one. Of a black man, a black cop shooting a black, I'm going to go, see, it can't be a race. See, there's a black man right. who did it. All you need is one. All you need is one. And then yeah. they go, it's okay. You know, but sketchy, as you pointed out, something else that was very sketchy this past weekend as we moved to For the Love of Sports is this Triller fight. Mm-hmm. Jake Paul, and as Michael Buffer called him in the introduction, Ben Askew. We're all like, what the is everybody yeah. just gonna act like Michael Buffer did not just fuck up his name? Oh my, let me tell you didn't watch this, right?
Right. This was I didn't. I watched show. I watched the video of the fight. I didn't mm-hmm. watch in the main fight, Jake Paul and Ben Askren.
Askren, but, yeah.
Yeah, Askren. That's what I said. But Askew, I didn't watch.
According to Michael Buffer.
Askew. Ben A. Let's just call him that.
Ben A.
Yeah, so no, but I saw the actual fight, but didn't watch all the other stuff that went on with the Triller event.
Yeah, it was definitely a long night of concerts I've never wanted to go to. Like, I got to see Doja Cat perform. Didn't want to. Justin Bieber perform. And they're like, here's the moment you've all been waiting for. Justin Bieber. Son of a bitch. I thought we were getting to the main event. I didn't even really want to see the main event. I just wanted to see the shit show that it was going to be. And here's the thing. Because I went on Twitter and saw people complaining about it and go, wait a minute. this is all your fault. Matter of fact, let me make sure I get this correct so I have it in the way that I tweeted, I blame tonight's Triller Fight Club on everyone who thought Snoop was the highlight of the Tyson Jones fight. Because when people were going, oh, Snoop needs to do commentary for every boxing match, I'm like, mm-mm, no sir. And this turned into a shit show from the beginning. When Snoop opened the show, I went, oh boy, this is going to be mm-hmm. something else. Because highlights, two highlights for me. Oscar De La Hoya coming out there doing commentary when he was either drunk, high, stoned out of his mind, coked out of his mind, or all of the above. He might
have
been all.
I'm gonna have to look up some video of that just to see.
You've
him
got
talking.
To, because he kept saying, you know, the USSR, and they're like, yeah, that doesn't exist anymore. And then he kept calling Steve Cunningham from the USSA. Like, Oscar De La Hoya, what the hell is wrong? I mean, from the minute he got up there and started talking, you knew he was fucked up. And Al Bernstein taking a drink. I'm taking my first drink on live television. Oh my God, stop it. Y'all are just got lost in the moment. Everybody's drunk as shit. Yeah, entertaining, but it was an embarrassment to boxing as a whole, right? But the highlight to me was not even a knockout from Jake Paul and Ben Askren, or Askew as Michael Buffer called him. But the slap fight that happened. And you've got to look that up. You look up the video for the slap fight that happened during this Triller Fight Club. Especially when the guy from Hawaii kept telling the other guy, don't flinch! And he slapped him and knocked him out.
Slap fight. Slap okay. fight. I'm going to have to look that up.
And they had Ric Flair hosting it.
Yeah.
Woo! Yep. Exactly as you'd imagine.
Nature boy. So, how was the Jake Paul Ben Askren fight? What's your take on that?
Short. I'm with everyone who goes, oh, it was rigged. I mean, I'm like, this. Ben didn't take it serious. He came out there looking like he was not ready for that fight. Hell, he took it about as serious as there was a fight earlier in the night of a former boxer who was 8-0 with 8 knockouts, who's a billionaire now, and he's just like, you know, all right, but he's professionally trained. Fighting a reggaeton star over a girl. I'm like, it was the stupidest shit. It's like, the minute that it started, like, oh, he could kill him. He could literally kill him if he wanted to. Like, he purposely didn't try to box him, because if he did, he would have hurt him. Mm-hmm. And he lasted two rounds, but it was just bad. And that's what I thought of the main event. It was bad. And Jake Paul's like, yeah, I'm a real fighter. No. Listen here, Pinocchio. You're not a real boy.
Well,
you
need
to fight a real fighter.
It seems like the idea of these Triller events is to bring some more excitement to boxing. But since, you know, UFC and MMA has most of that. But boxing used to be a big thing, and I feel like it's trying to bring that crowd back and bring some excitement to it. But to me, I feel like you're making fun of it. Like, I feel like these people who are true boxers should be more pissed about this style.
Yes.
Because it's giving a platform to people who aren't good, and it makes people think that you could be a YouTube star and now you're really a professional fighter and you haven't really fought a true boxer. You know, you beat up, you know, Nate Robinson, you beat up this overweight, out of shape, you know, UFC fighter who was just in it for the check. And if Jake was like, Terrell, you're talking shit about me on your podcast, I want to fight you in a Triller event. You're going to get 500,000. I'll get 700,000. I'm like, all right, Jake, cool. I'll go out there and do that. I'll lose, but I'll take my 500,000 and bring my ass back to Texas, you know? But so it just makes fun of the sport, I think. And it's not getting the intended effect that it wanted to. And then I think even having these silly announcers, it reminds me of when NFL brought Dennis Miller to do Monday Night Football. And they thought he could bring this comedy aspect to it. But he didn't know football well.
Right.
And so his comedy sucked. And his opinions were stupid. And so if I hear Snoop giving opinions about boxers, I'm like, no, I'd rather have a boxer do that. And you thought you'd have had that with Oscar De La Hoya. But, you know, if he's on a little booger sugar, you know... If he had a little booger sugar before the match, maybe his mind wasn't in the right place to do that.
they're making a mockery of the sport. And you want to know why MMA and why UFC is winning? It's because they're not run by politics, right? The politics of boxing is what's fucking up boxing, plain and simple. And when it comes down to the judging, that's just obviously slant. I mean, like, how the fuck did you determine that? There's that. Then you've got where people are not fighting each other. You want to know how you to get boxing back? Get to one. Or if you've got the three, but the best fight the best. Everybody fights everybody. That's what makes excitement. That's what draws people into it. Because the fact that you've got Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence who won't fight each other. That's the fight we want to see. I wanted to see Terrence Crawford and Floyd Mayweather. I think Terrence Crawford could have beat Floyd Mayweather. Because Terrence Crawford is just that good. But you want to see those fights. You wanted to see that triple threat fight going around of Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, and Anthony Joshua. They should have been fighting each other. Like, Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder should have been fighting each other all along. They should have fought each other. Or even just when it came to stop, let's get past the money. And I get it. There's a lot of money involved. But who's the bigger draw? Let's go. Let's split it 50-50 because we can make more money this way. And that's the problem with the Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford fight. Errol Spence is like, hey, I've got the most of the belts. I should get more money. It's 60-40 to 50-50. And I get it. I'd never have negotiated on that level and that many zeros and that many commas. So
yeah.
I can say what I want. And tell you, go ahead and just make the friggin' deal. What's 10%? But 10% is a lot. But at the same time, you make this fight, then you're able to do the next one after. And make it a trilogy. Shit, there's easy money to be made in that. A trilogy, 50-50, let's go. Who wins the first one? Get 60-40 on the next one.
Yeah.
And then on the third one, it's 70-30, whatever it is, 65-35. Or even back to a 60-40. Whoever wins this gets that. Make it that way. Whatever it is. Let's get the best fights because this mockery bullshit that Triller is doing is exactly that. Now you've got Teofimo Lopez, who is a champion, who's going to go fight on the next Triller event in June on the undercard for Evander Holyfield and Kevin McBride. I'm like, yo, come on, man. You just beat who was considered to be one of the best. You should be fighting. Of course, he's not a big name to be able to do the big pay-per-view. So if Triller's going to offer me this money, here it is. And I just wonder how much money is Triller making. You know, they're making a lot of money based on the bets and what's not that's made on this and DraftKings and all that. Why they're able to pay all this money? Because there's only one reason why you get all these celebrities to show up all the time and do all this crap. It's not just because oh, it's so exciting. No, it's bullshit, and it's all money because they got Michael Buffer to come out and do the weigh-in and introduce the main event.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I don't watch them. I mean, I just don't really watch boxing. It's not as exciting as it used to be. And I don't really pay attention to the sport. And then even the UFC MMA stuff, I don't really enjoy watching that much. And I used to try to go to like the sports bars, pre-COVID to go watch those fights, but you had to stop doing that because it seemed like a fight always broke out in the sports bar during UFC MMA night.
Really?
So I was like, yeah. Yeah. Two for the price of one. Time. Yeah. True. Happens all the time because they're so packed, people are drinking, and then people are watching this and like, yeah, I could do that. And then somebody actually steps on somebody's foot, and now it's a problem.
Before we get out of here, I saw this bullshit, and I figured I have to tell you about this one. Two drunk Frenchmen found themselves in big trouble after they watched a YouTube tutorial that offered bogus tips about how they could get a bigger penis. You know this is about to get great. So let me just read this. It told them to inject hemorrhoid cream into themselves to increase their girth. And they decided to inject one another. First of all, the fact that they decided to inject each other.
Yes, that's right there. I would do anything for you except that. Sorry.
I wouldn't let you do that.
Yeah.
So what happened? Doctors said the two men suffered from progressive painful swelling of the penis during the night, and they went to the hospital the next morning, right? Both men were told to rest and take painkillers in hope that the swelling would go down on its own. Now, the doctor said it's unclear whether the men suffered any permanent damage, as neither of them ever returned for a checkup. Now, experts have said If you have any desire to alter your genitals, you should consult with a suitably qualified specialist and ideally seek more than one opinion.
This is just crazy. But you know whose fault this is?
Who?
Women. There are women out there
who like
small penises, and you need to speak up. Because there's men out here trying to do this crazy stuff to themselves, and they don't realize that there are people out there that actually like small penises. So speak up. Let yourselves be known. So guys, stop doing crazy things like this, thinking that they have to have all this girth for every woman in the world. Every woman doesn't like that. So I blame the women that like small penises that are not being vocal and letting other guys know that, hey, it's okay if you're small.
Is there a special Bumble or Match category?
they should put that on there. It's like, you know, you got your height, you have your age, you know, you have your physical look. Are you slim, average, curvy, whatever? And then, like, for the guys, they should have
length and girth,
penis size. Penis size. You know, and just, you don't have to put a number, just put, you know, could use more, average, could use more, average, and then like, you know, Thunderdome or something. I don't, just, and that way the women could be like, you know what, he could use more, but I see that he also makes $150,000 a year. He has this, he doesn't have any kids. You know, maybe that's not the end of the world. Because I was reading this article this weekend, and it was about women and their experience with finding the one. Like, is there such thing? What their relationships have been like? And it was amazing to me to see how many women settled. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about their current partner. Like, you know, he's a great person. He's a great provider. He's a good dad. You know, and do I feel the butterflies? Am I like in love with them? No, but you know, I can't afford to make a change. So I'm just gonna stick with it. Am I that sexually attracted to him? No. So women settle for a whole lot of different things. If a man is everything else, but he has a small penis, give this dude a shot so they stop trying to inject themselves. You know what I mean? So honestly, every woman does not want a guy that's huge. They talk about it, but men have to realize every woman doesn't want that because majority of women settle in some form or fashion, right? And so, it literally, you could say, hey, this guy's an asshole, he cheats on me, but he has a big dick, and so you just put up with all of it? No. So there are women out there who would be happy to date these Frenchmen with small peepees. And ladies, we need you to start speaking up to let some of these guys know, hey, it's okay if you could use a little more. I've settled for less, literally. So you settle for a lot of things. You find an amazing guy that just has a small penis. Give him a shot.
You know, this sounds like an old Chris Rock joke where he goes, you know, you ever catch your woman just looking at you one day, just looking at you without, if it's just a look on her face? That's because you weren't her first choice. And I always like to double check and make sure. So sometimes sitting there and I just sneak over and look at my wife, make sure she's not looking at me like that.
I'm just saying, ladies, speak up. Let guys know it's okay if they're small so they stop doing stupid stuff like this. And guys, speak up. I've told many women, I don't need you to keep injecting your face and lips with all this crap. I don't need you to inject stuff into your butt. I don't need you to have fake boobs. Just be you. And I'll take all that. So I'm one of those guys, I don't need all that extra.
Hold up. You won't take all that.
Are you going to the short hair thing? Yeah. Yeah, I still said it. I still say it. I'll take a whole lot of things, but I won't do that.
We know this was stupid for what they did. They got it off YouTube.
Yeah.
And I get it, because there's a lot of interesting things you can learn from YouTube. When I had to redo my daughter's room before she got here, you know, I had to, you know, take the wallpaper down, then spackle the wall and repaint it and everything and all that stuff. I learned that on YouTube. Like, how the hell do I spackle? Because, matter of fact, how you spell spackle again? Southern, all that shit from YouTube, and the room looks great. And you know, I did a great job. Pat myself on the back for the painting job I did.
I think two things. I watched a YouTube video on how to fold a fitted sheet. Mm-hmm. Thought that was interesting. But the one that helped me the most was how to pack. So how to pack for 4 or 5 days in a carry-on. Because that was my hardest struggle. If I was glad to travel and stay somewhere longer than 2 or 3 days, I'm like, how do I fit all that in a carry-on? Because I'm extra, and I like to have extra clothes, because you never know, right? And this video was amazing, where I could pack 5 to 6 days worth of clothes in a carry-on. And there's a certain way you got to fold, certain way you got to roll stuff. I mean, it was great and changed my life on how I pack now whenever I travel. So learn that from
YouTube.
I'm
actually going to look. I'm going to look that up just because you said that, because that's intriguing to me. And even the fact of folding the fitted sheet, because I know when I fold a fitted sheet, it's easy to tell which one's the fitted sheet and which one's the other sheet.
Yeah.
Because the fitted sheet looks like shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's never out anywhere. So like I saw the video and I'm like, you know what? Great. I tried it one time. But then I realized like I've never been to someone's house and seen all their sheets folded.
Yeah.
I've seen their towels, right? See their towels like in the bathroom. I've never seen their like sheets and all that to judge. I'm like, who the hell's gonna see this fitted sheet? So I'm just gonna ball it up, put it back in the drawer like I normally would do, because it doesn't really matter, right? So I stopped worrying about it. But the one on how to pack, I highly recommend you watch that. It's very informative. Blow your mind.
To answer your question, who's going to see it? Any woman that sees this video that comes over to your house from now, they're going to go to the linen closet. Let's see what his fitted sheets look like.
And I don't keep my sheets in a linen closet. So for anybody to come over and find my sheets, you were like a detective looking for stuff. You found where I keep my sheets. So,
oh my God, let's get the hell out of here. What you sipping on, man?
Coffee. It's still early. Sipping on some good old coffee. I'm doing this detox cleanse starting tomorrow, so I got to go buy all these produce and stuff to make for my smoothies for the week. But today, I'm starting off with just a good cup of Joe.
And I've got Mother Nature's champagne, some good quality H2O.
Yeah.
I got to drink more. I'm down here with the southern snow, so, you know, the best way to keep it at bay, besides taking my Claritin D, is to also drink lots of water, so.
Yeah. Well, I know you're in Atlanta. Atlanta's crazy, so be careful.
I am in my little bubble. I go to work, I come home. That's it. You're in Texas. You out there.
Yeah. True. I'm dealing with it on a regular basis, so I get it.
Yep. Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Harold.
Remember to follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Harold, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.